is Henry.
Hey, this is Joe Peacock. How you doing, Henry?
All right.
Awesome. Real quick, I want to ask you just a quick question before we get started. Is it okay if I record this interview?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Okay, because Broken News, we're hoping to, you know, take the finer parts of the interview and throw it into our next podcast.
Oh.
That's okay with you.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine, man.
Awesome, excellent. Okay.
Now, I came up with this wonderful idea last night, which never has occurred to me after I don't know how many interviews. How many minutes do we have?
I was told 15.
But yeah,
okay.
15 minutes.
It's up to you,
right.
So.
How many questions do you have?
I have a really rough outline. I don't really do
question
and outline.
Because what I don't want to do is get to the end of the time period and you got like 8 burning questions and you're screwed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help. Okay, so fire away.
All right, well, the very first thing I want to ask you is, you know, the very, very thick of the thing, the reason why we're talking to you is about the new Henry Rollins show on IFC at 10 o'clock on Saturday. So I was hoping to get you to tell me a little bit about the show and give us our mission, all that good stuff.
Well, the show, we have not reinvented the wheel. It is just your very standard talk show. It's cool, but there's nothing new about it in that we have a guest, a musical guest, and I make commentary off a teleprompter down the barrel of the lens, and then we say, thank you, we'll see you next time. What's kind of cool about it is the guests are interesting, and the bands are really interesting, to me at least.
Absolutely.
And it's completely uncensored, so I get to say and do exactly what I want, which makes for, pretty interesting time. In that I just can go without watching what I say. Well, I watch what I say, but I don't have to be concerned about an FCC regulation or some kind of political sentiment that IFC may find objectionable because seemingly they just don't, or they don't mind, or they're in the similar spirit or something. All I know is I've gone as hard as I wanted to, and never once did they go, whoa, you gotta cool that out. They went, cool, we'll see you next week.
Right.
So it's been great so far.
Now, is that why IFC was chosen, or did
you
choose them?
Well, IFC kind of said, you know, we pitched to everybody, and IFC said, yeah, all right, we'll dance with you. It's not like we can walk around going, you. it's not like that. So we pitched to all kinds of people, and those are some of the more excruciating meetings you'll ever have in your life.
I can certainly understand that.
Never so not what I'm used to.
Well, it's
worse than an audition.
Yeah, and that's the surprising thing about the Henry Rollins show is that you come from a rock and roll background. Most everyone who knows Henry Rollins knows, you know, the Black Flag, the Rollins Band, the awesome performance at the Grammys with no shoes, and, you know, that kind of awesome stuff. And all of a sudden they're turning on their TVs and they're like, you know, who's this rock guy talking to me, and why does he have a brain? What's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the format of the show is, it's really interesting. Having seen all the episodes, it seems like the guests that you get, you know, when you're talking to Bill Maher, when you're talking to Oliver Stone, you have this, this fan quality along with the professional talk show kind of format. I mean, do you really get into idolizing the guys? Do you get a chance?
Well, I think what bores me is when people are too cool to appreciate what someone else does.
Yeah.
And I'm just not that way. If I like your band, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to get your record. I'm going to go to the show. And I'm going to, you know, if I ever meet you, I'm going to go, man, I got all your records. What are you doing next? How's it going? What's happening? I want to know. So I'm not, oh, yeah, man, I heard you're in a band. So when we get a guest on, you know, it's someone I said, okay, here's my list of people I want you to try and get them. And they get them or not. And when they do come in, like, you know, when Werner Herzog walked in, I'm not going to go, oh, it's Werner Herzog, isn't that nice? I was like, no way! I mean, come on! And so it's not like I'm following them home.
Yeah.
But it's just I'm very happy that they're on the show.
Yeah, and
but idolized, I don't know. Inspired? Sure.
To be completely honest, that's pretty much why I was chosen for this interview is, you know, having an extensive history of listening to all kinds of really good stuff, your stuff is definitely highest in the catalog. So
well, thank you.
Yeah. But let's kind of get back to the show itself. Let's talk a little bit about the episode so far. You know, we talked a little bit about Werner Herzog and Bill Maher, Ollie Stone, and all those guys. So far, do you have a favorite guest? Do you have one that you've resonated with?
No, I mean, so far, most of the people who have been on the show, who I've interviewed, who haven't been on the show yet, I kind of know. And I use that word very carefully. I've known Bill Maher since 1993.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I have his home number and hang out with him, but
right,
I've
been on the show
correct back when
yeah.
it was in New York.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, on his first season. So I go way back with him to where, you know, we recognize each other at the university. Oliver Stone I've hung out with several times. Eddie Izzard, I've known Eddie almost a decade. Chuck D, I've known well over a decade. Ozzy
yeah.
Osbourne, same thing, toured with him, flown in the, you know, family jet, did all that. I've interviewed Ozzy a number of times for different magazines. You know, I do a lot of journalism kind of stuff too.
Right.
So a lot of these people, you know, they're just these people I kind of knew and we just put the reach out to, and we just interviewed Jeff Bridges the other day. I did a movie with Jeff years ago. He's just a, you know, really wonderful guy. The only people I never had met before when they came in this season so far, let's see, Herzog, and that might be it so far. Oh, well, I'm tomorrow I've got Patton Oswalt.
Oh, now that's going to be an interesting interview.
I can't wait. I just think, you know, there, I'm a fan. I love that record. I love the thing on Comedy Central. And he was on my want list. And so tomorrow I'm interviewing Adam Carolla, who's, I've been on Loveline a bunch of times with him. I've known Adam many years.
Yeah.
So that'll be more of a conversation. And so what you're seeing in those interviews is a lot of just a conversational looseness because we have a pre-established trust and rapport.
Right.
What is my job is to make that, not seem like a lackadaisical conversation that keeps the viewer out of it.
Right.
You want to be inclusive, not exclusive. So that's my job, to be, you know, part friend or part pal and fan and keeping it going. You know, let's get some questions answered. Let's work here. And I interviewed Perry Farrell the other day, who, of course, I've done a lot of shows with over the years, and he was, a monster interview, just, you know, incredible. My favorite of all of them, well, perhaps Herzog, just because I'd always wanted to meet the guy, and I was kind of hoping his stories would be interesting and all that, and on every level, he did not disappoint. I mean, you get him talking about Klaus Kinski, and he could have gone all day as far as I was concerned.
Right.
Bill Maher was a very brief interview, because he's so laser-targeted. He just says it, and you're like, wow, that's a perfect soundbite. I mean, he's really dialed in. And so his interview, I thought, was really fantastic, just because he packs a punch.
Yeah, and from a fan perspective, I have to tell you that the Chuck D. Henry Rollins interview was absolutely one of the finest moments on TV when you've grown up listening to, you know, all the great stuff throughout the 90s, and to see these two, you know, masters of independent art just kind of going at it. That was really rad. So
yeah, it was fun for me because, you know, Chuck's one of my heroes, and I've known Chuck a long time, and that was the first interview of the season, I believe, and they were having some camera problems. You know, it's a small production. And so Chuck and I were just kind of left on our own for like an hour and some before the interview started. And, you know, when we're together, we just talk. And so we had been talking for almost 2 hours by the time that interview was over. So we spent the afternoon together, which was, you know, really fun for me.
That's awesome. And so, like, when you get two guys who are so, you know, independently artistic, you know, Chuck's doing his own stuff with his releasing of the new records, and
mm-hmm.
you obviously have 213, you have the record label. I want to talk a little bit about your past with self-publishing, with, you know, getting your own media out there, because obviously in this Web 2.0 world that's coming up, it's becoming not an issue, but more of a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to kind of get your feelings on that. You started out in, you know, the late 80s putting out your own material, and obviously you didn't have the reach that the internet provides to, you know, me sitting in my bedroom recording this call as we talk.
Right.
So, I mean, what's your perspective on that? What do you see when you surf the net?
Well, I see opportunity and potential. And, you know, all of a sudden, the kid with a burning idea for music doesn't need to find a bunch of people like-minded in his corny town where they all hate him. He doesn't have to find a recording studio that he can't afford. He can now, hopefully, realize his musical vision in the safety of his bedroom without getting pounded, you know, by a jock or a dad who, you know, oh, I won't have a queer for a son. Well, you know, the guy can be gay and creative and not have to get his ass kicked in Wyoming or wherever.
Right.
And if you have a band, you can perhaps have a fan base. We're going to make a website. We're going to put three songs up for free. We're going to get on other people's websites and put a posting up. You know, come on and check us out. Here's some free music. Here's some photos. Here's our tour dates. And poets can put on, you know, all 900 pages of that fantastic stuff. Instead of sending it all to me in real paper, they can just invite me to their site.
Right.
And not decimate the forest. And so it just gives lots of people an opportunity to express themselves. And, you know, here are housewives with blogs where, you know, they're frustrated. They want to get their yayas out. Well, they get on that thing and they have 35 people who, you know, doggedly read every word, and that woman feels validated, as she should. And so it's giving people a voice, it's giving people a means. Of course, there's always people who abuse it, you know, your pedophile stalker types, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's some bad people, too.
With the MySpace stuff that's going on.
Yeah. So there's anything involving freedom, there's always going to be people who are going to abuse it. Oh, you know, anywhere, anytime, any century, any means.
Absolutely. But as far as, like, you know, the publishing side goes, has 213 really kind of stuck with the independent deal? Are you still doing the I'm Henry and I'm going to put out the books that I think need to be put out? Or has 213 kind of morphed into, you know...
We do more of my stuff. We take such a financial beating on stuff that's not me that we have had to become very careful with what we do with non-Henry stuff.
Right.
And so what we do now is we do, every once in a while we'll do a CD of some, you know, old reissue, something that I'm, you know, wild about. And then,
like the Devo stuff a while back.
That was Infinite Zero. That was Warner Brothers money.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was OPM. That's my favorite kind. no, what we'll do is, for instance, late last year we released an EP of an ancient recording by a band called Negative Trend.
Right.
Half of Negative Trend became Flipper. This was an EP that I had in my collection for 25 years. Very rare on eBay. It's like one of those, you know, $400 eBay records.
Right.
I finally tracked down the masters, made a deal, and said, okay, can we put this out? And they went, yeah. So I put out, you know, right off the master, from the master tapes for $5 instead of $400, the cleanest, punchiest sounding version of the Negative Trend EP you've ever heard. And I just put it on my website. I said, look, you've heard these songs on my radio show. This is a single that raised people like me and Ian MacKay and all these people. It's $5. Just fucking buy it. You know, so finally this band can get paid and I can break even on this thing and Heidi and Carol don't kill me.
Right.
And I do one of those a year, one or two of those a year, where, you know, it takes a while to break even on it and everyone gets paid in full and everybody's happy. But I get to, you know, do my part to try and chink up the holes in musical history.
Right.
Books, I would love to do it more with books as well, but books are really hard to sell these days.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it.
And I think I have bled through the mouth for really good writers, so I don't think anyone can say, you know, you really didn't do your part. I think I really did because I have a garage full of these very good books that no one cares about.
Right.
And we tried. And I also realized that to get people to read a book, you need a lot of promotion dollar to get them to put down a Game Boy, a Trio, you know what I mean? To get them to read in 2006, you must have Scribner's or Reagan Press-sized promotion behind it.
Right.
You know, go to the airport, and if I gave you a dollar for every time you saw the Da Vinci Code in someone's hand, I could buy you lunch,
right?
Okay, it's probably the one book many Americans will read or Million Little Pieces because Oprah told them to. They take their literary advice from a daytime talk show host. That's my country. Okay, so do you
see we have one minute left. Sorry to interrupt.
When you see the promotion going on for this, we can't weigh in there.
Right, understood. I have a little perspective on that, and that's where the Web 2.0 thing kind of is because now you can target guys.
It can help.
Yeah. Now, real quick, because we got to close up real quick, what's up with the band? What's going on with the Spoken Word Tour? Where are you going to be next?
Well, Spoken Word Tour is, you know, I finished the last tour. It was about 150 shows. Finished it the other day in Ireland. I have a few little dates here and there, but they're not related to a tour. The band is in practice. Melvin Gibbs, Sim Kane, Henry Rollins, Chris Haskett, and Tail Van Rock. We were all here yesterday. We played for my TV show.
Oh, awesome. So you got the old group back up.
Oh, yeah. And we're going out in August with X, North American tour, all of August, starting in late July in Southern California.
I will see you there, my friend.
It's going to be good. It's pretty killing right now.
Awesome. Thanks a whole lot for your time, Henry. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I'll see you down the road.
All right. We'll see you on the show.